Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Greenpanel Industries. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Desa.
Thank you. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Greenpanel Industries Limited Q2 H1 FY24 conference call. We have with us today Mr. Shobhan Mittal, the Managing Director, and Mr. V. Venkatramani, the CFO. Before we begin, I would like to state that some statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the results presentation that was sent to you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Shobhan Mittal to begin proceedings of the call. Over to you, Shobhan.
Thank you, Gavin. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss Greenpanel's operating and financial performance for Q2 FY 2024. MDF sales volume fell by 2%. Export volumes grew by 24%, while domestic volumes fell by 9%. We have maintained our market share in the retail segment even with the increase in domestic competition. The degrowth in domestic volumes is primarily due to reduction of sales in OEM segment, which we had consciously chosen not to service due to the drastic fall in import prices. We have resumed servicing the OEM segment with a new product offering. MDF EBITDA margins at 21.2% were impacted by steep increase in raw material cost, higher import volumes, and increase in domestic competition. Plywood volumes were lower by 19.6%, and operating margins at 1.65% were impacted by lower volumes and increase in raw material costs. Plywood realizations at 263 rupees per square meter were lower by 12% year-on-year. This was due to lower volumes in the decorative veneers business. We have restructured our plywood sales team to recover market share and to reach optimum capacity, which we foresee in the next few quarters. Post-tax profits for the quarter was lower by 43.4% at rupees 41 crores as compared to rupees 72.46 crores in quarter two FY 2023 for reasons mentioned earlier. Net working capital at 26 days has shown an increase of 2 days year-on-year. We have chosen to be disciplined with our credit terms, which obviously has some impact on our sales since competition is offering attractive credit terms. However, we are clear that we will not grow at the cost of our balance sheet. Net debt has reduced by rupees 14 crores during the quarter and stands at negative rupees 179 crores as on 30th September 2023. We paid rupees 27 crores towards MDF expansion project during quarter two, aggregating to rupees 93 crores till date. The entire amount has been spent from internal accruals. Work is progressing on the expansion project, and we estimate commercial project production to be in quarter three FY 2025. Mr. Venkatramani will now run you through the financials in greater detail, post which we will have the Q&A session. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us to discuss the Q2 FY 2024 financial performance of Greenpanel Industries. Net sales during the quarter were rupees 397.70 crores compared to rupees 456.11 crores during the year-on-year period. MDF sales fell by 10.3% at rupees 354.51 crores and contributed 89% of the top line. MDF export volumes grew by 24% at 33,208 cubic meters. Domestic volumes were lower by 9% at 90,407 cubic meters, and overall MDF volumes were down by 2% at 123,615 cubic meters. MDF domestic revenues were rupees 296.27 crores, while exports contributed rupees 58.24 crores. Domestic realizations were lower by 2% year-on-year at rupees 32,771 cubic meters, while export realizations were lower by 23% at rupees 17,538 per cubic meter. Blended MDF realizations were lower by 8% at ₹28,679 per cubic meter. The fall in MDF export realizations was due to price cuts taken in Q3 and Q4 last year, and also a majority of export sales was invoiced on FOB basis. Uttarakhand MDF operated at 78% and AP plant operated at 69% with blended capacity utilization at 72% on a capacity of 660,000 cubic meters. Plywood sales saw degrowth of 29.2% at ₹43.19 crores. Plywood sales volumes were lower by 19.6% at 1.64 million square meter and the unit operated at 50% during the quarter. Plywood sales realizations were lower by 12% at ₹263 per square meter due to a significant fall in volumes of decorative veneers. Plywood sales realizations were normal plywood sales realizations excluding decorative veneers were up by 1% year on year at ₹259 per square meter. In Q2 FY24, gross margin fell by 313 bps year on year at 55.5%. EBITDA margins were down by 818 basis points at 19.1%. EBITDA stood at ₹75.88 crores and PAT was lower by 43% at ₹41 crores due to reasons mentioned by Mr. Mittal. I'll now update you on the performance details for H1 FY24. Net sales degrew by 14.8% at ₹782.84 crores. MDF sales were lower by 11.7% at ₹694.67 crores. While private sales were lower by 33.1% at ₹88.17 crores. Gross margins were down by 331 bps at 56.8%. Gross margin in value terms was down by 19.5% at ₹444.68 crores. EBITDA margin was lower by 973 basis points at 18.9%. EBITDA in value terms fell by 43.7% at ₹148.04 crores. Post-tax profits were lower by 47.8% at ₹78.26 crores. Overall, MDF sales volumes were down by 5% at 239,413 cubic meters with blended capacity utilization of the two plants at 73% compared to 78% in the year-on-year period. Dispatches for plywood were lower by 29% at 3.22 million square meters with capacity utilization at 54%. Compared to 79% in the corresponding period. Gross debt to equity stands at 0.12 as on 30th September 2023 compared to 0.18 as on 30th September 2022. Net debt as on 30th September 2023 stood at negative ₹179 crores compared to negative 59 crores as on 30th September 2022. That concludes my presentation. Please start the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Harsh Shah from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. A few questions from my side. Firstly, how has been the consumption of MDF at the industry level, say, if we compare H1 FY24 to H1 FY23? If you could quantify it, that would be helpful.
Yeah, it's too early to quantify because, you know, the numbers have not come from the other listed companies. But we estimate that there has been a fairly strong growth during the quarter, you know, because imports multiplied to about, on an average of about 48,000 cubic meters per month during this quarter. And, we have been able to maintain our volumes, which we did in Q1. So since we have not lost any volumes and, imports have gone up strongly, we estimate that growth has been fairly good during the quarter.
So would it be fair to assume that the growth would be somewhere in double digits?
Yeah, possibly it would have been, because if you look at quarter one, imports were on an average between 25,000 to 30,000 per month. Whereas in this quarter they have been almost close to 50,000 per month.
Okay. Yeah. And secondly, now we are kind of almost 1 month into Q3. So how has been the demand situation currently?
Yeah, it's fairly decent. So if you look at the month of October, we have sold about 34,000 cubic meters. No, which is 9% growth year on year.
Okay, but so do you envisage that there will be sequential growth in the volumes?
So are you asking for the remaining part of the year?
Yeah,
we are estimating that there will be growth sequentially and yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And in terms of guidance also, I believe you had given in Q1 guidance of say close to 12 to 15% growth in MDF volume. So are we going to kind of hit that, or we would be cutting our guidance? Because why I ask this question is because if I look at H1, so what growth we want is basically 37% over H1. So is that possible? Even if I take 12% volume growth on FY23 volume, so is that 37% growth over H1 possible? Or
at this point of time, I think safe to assume that's not going to be possible. But we foresee, that at the end of the year we should be about 3 to 5% growth over last year.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue as there are many participants in the queue. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Keshav Lahotia from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So I want to get a sense on the ply segment side. The margins are just like, just 2% EBITDA margin. What's happening? Why the performance is so poor, and when will they pick up?
So, the first major impact on the margins, of course, is the drastic increase in the raw material costs at the plant level. This is actually beyond the control, and we are foreseeing this across all product categories, whether it's MDF or plywood, the raw material, timber cost especially has gone up drastically. Of course, at our end, as mentioned earlier also in the previous quarter, that we are now, we have completely restructured our plywood sales team and our strategy, and we are seeing some traction going forward over the next few quarters, where we will see a much higher utilization, which would result in much better margins. At this point of time, the primary reason for the poor performance is underutilization of capacity and the impact of the higher raw material costs.
Okay, got it. How has been the raw material cost in Q2 on timber side and resin prices, and how it is looking on Q3?
Okay.
If you look at it, we have seen a 11% growth increase in wood prices in South India, whereas North has been flattish. And very difficult, to give an estimate of where wood prices can climb going forward, because it's a demand and supply factor. So
But we are not seeing any new capacities coming up, I think, at least for the next 4 to 6 months. So hopefully there will not be any significant increase in raw material prices.
Okay, got it. Last two questions from my side. One, the capex on H1 appears to be just 50 crore. So you maintain your capex of, you know, 500 crore for this year. And lastly, what's the progress on the new OEM strategy which you have talked in this year?
Okay. Like a part of the capex could also shift into the next year because there has been some delay in shipments from Germany. But the overall spend will happen in the current year and the next financial year. But, you know, there could be some change, in the year-on-year figures. I mentioned, I think, probably around 480 to 500 crores for the current year. So that could possibly be slightly lower and part of it could move into the next financial year. What was the second part of your question?
What's the progress on the new OEM strategy which you have planned, a lower cost MDF?
We are seeing improvement on that side. Of course, you know, since we started this, let's say at the beginning of the previous quarter, but the model of the import generally entails long lead times. So most of the OEMs had already, you know, 2 to 3 months of, pre-planned orders in the pipeline and, supplies of which are getting exhausted or, at the fag end. So hopefully in the coming quarter, we should see traction in that sort of strategy as well.
Okay, got it. So we should expect the new MDF plant by, Q4 FY25 as there is a bit delay on the capex side?
As of now, we are expecting it to be quarter three.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Kushagra from Old Bridge Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions. One, on the utilization levels, if you can give some color as to how you think about the utilization levels, what happened in the first half, and how do you see them panning out in second half of the year? Because, even at 4% of growth, which you are thinking of doing in FY24, you would need 85 to 87% utilization levels in the second half versus 72-73% in the first half. So if you can give some color over there.
Your voice is breaking. I can't really get it. Can you do it one by one, the questions?
Okay. Is this better now?
Not really. Could you come closer to the speaker?
Yes. Should be better now.
Yeah.
Hello?
Please speak slowly.
Yeah. Okay. So the question is on utilization levels. If you can give some color as to how you think about utilization levels with respect to what happened in the first half, and then how do you see them panning out in second half of FY24? Because, if for even a 3-4% of growth which you are thinking of doing in FY24, it implies that your utilization levels in the second half should be 85-87% versus 72-73% you achieved in the first half. So how are you thinking about that? That is my first question.
That's correct. That's what we are estimating on the MDF side.
Right. So, the question really is to understand, what led to a significant drop in utilization levels and how it will come back very strongly in the second half. Like, how much of that decision is in your hand and how much of that decision is probably led by the market forces which lead you to fluctuate your utilization levels?
Okay. Shobhaji mentioned, we had launched a new offering for the OEM customers in August. But since they had already pending import orders in hand, it did not find much traction in this quarter. So hopefully, we will see significant increase in volumes from the OEM segment during the next 6 months. So that's the primary reason. And we are also focusing on expanding the distribution network. So hopefully that will also lead to some positive results.
Got it. The second question is on, in your opening remarks, you made a remark on competition offering higher credit. So can you give some color on the market practices by those players, which is taking the entire market down? And versus Green Panel, how much of the relaxation they are giving on credit? Broad color over there will be useful. Thank you.
So overall, our debtor days are normally lower than 10 days. In this particular quarter, they were around 6 days of turnover. And if you look at competition, I think probably, most of them would be beyond between 30 to 60 days. So the fact that, we offer much lower credit than competition obviously has some impact on our sales. No, but we are okay on that. We are always focused on converting profits to cash flows. And that will be the strategy irrespective of market conditions.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sneha Talreja from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
So thanks a lot for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand a couple of things. You have, of course, changed your guidance on the volume growth front about 3 to 4% on the volume terms for MDF division. Similarly, do we even plan to change the estimate for margin, given that we are still lacking behind our initial estimate of 23% sort of a number?
See, I have not been able to, fully understand your question, but I think you are saying what impact the increase in volumes will have on the margin?
No. What I am asking is, do we even plan to reduce our estimate on the margins of MDF? Like, we were earlier guiding for 23 to 25%. Will that also see a downward revision?
Yeah, that's right. So we had, guided for MDF margins in the range of 23 to 25%. So I think possibly now we are looking at, the lower end of the guidance around 22 to 23%.
Understood. And secondly, what I wanted to understand was, what was the brand spend this particular quarter? Last quarter you had brand spend of 4% and you were planning at an overall brand spend of 2 to 3%. So just wanted to see where the number is currently.
Yeah, I think at the beginning of the year, we had guided for brand spends in the range of 2 to 2.5%. So I think we will be around that level for the, full year.
No, what was it this particular quarter, Q2?
Yeah, there will be brand spends both in quarter 3 and quarter 4. Brand spends in quarter 2 were fairly low. Just give me a moment.
Sure.
So it was about 0.8%.
Understood. And last question from my end would be on your exports. We have seen tremendous increase in exports. So just wanted to understand, is that because of the MDF, exports quota that we have, or is it because of the weak domestic demand that we are catering to, higher exports at this point of time?
It's not really due to that. If you remember, I had mentioned, in the Q1 call that about 6,000 cubic meters of exports were stuck at the port,
Right.
So that shipment happened in the current quarter. So that's why we see a significant increase in exports.
Understood. That was helpful, sir. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Bhavin Rupani from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on MDF. So how should one understand the margins in exports? should be in mid-single digits or low single digits?
Yeah, it's in low single digits, currently between 2 to 3%.
Okay. And the new category of MDF that we had launched for OEMs, how much quantity were we able to sell in this quarter, and what is our target and what is the margin profile in that product?
Yeah, the volumes are about 12,000 cubic meters in this quarter, and we are considering that to double over the next 6 months.
So we can say 36,000 CBM for the year.
Yeah, that, no, it was 12,000 cubic meters in quarter two. You know, quarter one was pretty low, so maybe could be around 3,000 to 4,000 cubic meters. And we are looking at approximately, 46,000 to 48,000 cubic meters over the next 6 months.
And what about the margin profile over here, sir?
Excuse me?
Margin profile? Is it lower than...
The margins would be about 3 to 4% lower as compared to the normal industrial product.
Okay, so that's helpful. My second question is on MDF for expansion. So given the inflationary environment that we are seeing, are you expecting any increase in the project cost?
No, at this moment we are not estimating any increase in the project cost.
Okay. And so lastly, if you could specify what is the current MDF capacity in the industry and how much capacity is coming up in India?
Regarding that inflation in the project cost, there could be some inflation due to currency, but that we will be able to calculate only after the project is completed. Beyond currency, we do not see any inflation in project cost.
And sir, what is the current capacity of MDF in India right now, and how much capacity is coming up?
Currently, we are about 2.7 million cubic meters, and we estimate that will move to about 3.5 million cubic meters by the end of next year.
In FY25, right, sir?
FY25, correct.
Okay, and the incremental capacities, they are coming up in North or South India? Any idea for that?
Excuse me? It's all coming in South India.
Okay, and any trends on the import parity price, sir? What is the difference between the import price and the domestic prices?
It's about 18 to 20% currently.
18% lower versus domestic prices.
Yeah, 18% discount to domestic prices.
Okay, that is helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Balaji Vaidyanath from NAFA AMC. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I have two questions. First is, I just wanted to understand the sensitivity of crude prices to the import volume. So in the last 6 months, we had the Brent crude prices inching up by 14-15%. Whether that's going to have any kind of impact on the imports, because earlier on you mentioned that the difference in the parity is about 18-20%. So, the Brent compared to May has risen by almost 13-14%. Whether that's going to have any impact or there's nothing like that?
We have not been able to establish any clear relationship between, increase or reduction in crude prices and its impact on resin prices. Because it sometimes happens, with a time lag of 2 to 3 months, sometimes 6 months, sometimes it doesn't happen at all. So although most of our chemicals are derivatives of crude, we have not been able to establish any, direct correlation between crude prices and the resin prices.
I'm trying to understand the correlation between the crude prices and the import volumes. You know, if crude prices were to go up, will the import volumes come down and vice versa?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. The second part of the question is, there was a media report which spoke about BIS standard for imported wood panel products. So wanted to understand your thoughts on that.
Sorry, a media report about what?
BIS standard for imported wood products.
Yes. So basically from February 2024, BIS on any MDF sold in India would become mandatory. So, of course, all domestic producers as well as imported material would have to comply with this. So, we foresee this to be a deterrent for imported material coming into the country, because this, of course, is a tedious process of the foreign manufacturers firstly having to be registered and comply with BIS standards. They will have to mark the products as BIS certified. And at the same time, we also foresee imported products that are coming into the country, which are at the moment not complying with the BIS standards, would have to comply and in turn change their quality, so which would A, result in most probably slightly higher production costs, and B, of course, differentiating their production, especially for India, the Indian market, which would also result in loss of efficiency on their part, because you'd be producing a different kind of product for the Indian market specifically, which would result in some efficiency loss on their part, which in turn again would result in cost increases. So, as a domestic producer, we see that this would help us against imported raw material, imported MDF.
Great, sir. Great. My final question is, I was just going through the PPT and, you had mentioned about expansion of the distributor network and the retailer network, but if I compare your PPT of last year and this year, there seems to be a reduction in the number of distributors and retailers. So I wanted to understand your thoughts, if you have actually contracted some dealers and distributors, or what exactly has happened here?
Yeah, we have not given any dealer numbers for, 30th September. So those numbers, if you look at it, it's mentioned as 31st March 23. Yeah, so compared to 31st March 2022, versus 31st March 2023, we had weeded out some, inefficient dealers who were not able to, get even close to their target. So we had removed some inefficient dealers. So that's why we saw a fall in the number of dealers.
So that number has reverted closer to the March 22 number as of September when we say that, or not?
No, those are March 22 and March 23 numbers.
Okay. Thanks a lot and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Kaustav Bhavna from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Shobhan, how are you?
Hi, Kaustav, how are you?
I'm doing good. So, Shobhan, I've been trying to understand this for the last few months, but you yourself mentioned the risks that are currently playing out in the MDF industry, namely import competitiveness is back, a lot of supply is coming into the markets, right? And let's just say these two things. And I'm having a tough time trying to understand how will you be able to maintain realizations at these levels? Because we've spoken before, and these two factors were some of the main factors why the previous down cycle, your realizations actually dipped below even 20,000 rupees a cubic meter. So I'm trying to understand why this time is different. That's my first question. And my second question is, you know, there will be a point in time where you don't see these volatile increases in supply. Let's say 5 years down the line or whenever. Because the industry will mature more. So so how do you see the industry 5-10 years down the line in terms of pricing versus what the pricing is today in terms of realization per cubic meter? So those are my two questions.
So you see, with regards to realizations, you know, there hasn't been any drastic fall in realizations on the retail segment. We are quite, we've been able to maintain our realizations. Also, if you see, you know, on the product mix side, there has been an improvement. The market is, especially the domestic producers, are increasing, you know, marketing focus of the value-added products where imports don't come into the picture of the higher value products. So that is also helping in maintaining and going forward, maybe improving realizations as well as the value mix. So of course, on the OEM segment, or if you talk about exports, realizations are lower because that is primarily driven by the international market pricing. And we have to comply with the same because that's the competition in, you know, the international and other producers. But on the domestic market side, we don't see a challenge of realizations going down. And we see, you know, going forward that with the value mix changing, it might just improve in going forward. 5 to 10 years down the line is very hard to estimate, but... you know, you know, we can foresee that the market is growing at you know, double digit growth, 15% to 18%. It is very clear that the market is growing. Yes, at this point of time, it's a very peculiar situation because there have been drastic increases in capacities. There is like a gap between the supply and the demand at this point of time. But as the demand catches up, you know, this pressure is going to ease off on all producers. And going forward, we foresee that this situation would stabilize. The industry would become more consolidated in the hands of you know, the organized producers, because capital investment remains a barrier in this industry. We don't foresee this industry moving towards becoming an unorganized segment, let's say majority players being unorganized like it is in the plywood segment. I think it would stabilize going forward. At this point of time, you know, with the past lucrative performances of the MDF producers, it attracted a lot of new interest. You know, existing players made new investments, but now the situation is becoming real. So we don't see that this challenge is going to continue. And also on the raw material side, you know, we've historically seen a lot of these cycles. You know, where supply is a constraint, so raw material prices shoot up. Plantations are already happening in huge numbers now. We'll see easing off of raw material also going forward, which would result in stabilized and improved margins as well. So this is a cycle in this agroforestry industry, which has been there historically, and it is, we're seeing just another cycle in play right now.
Okay, great. And Shobhan, just one last point. You know, when you talk about value add, a lot of the low-pressure laminate producers are basically making these low-pressure laminates with particle board. So when you talk about low value add for you, for an MDF player, what are you really talking about? You know, when you said that MDF players are increasing their value add offering so as to, you know, separate themselves from import competition. So are you also getting into low? Are you using MDF as a base to make low-pressure laminates? Is it a lot of HDF flooring? What is this value add?
Which is pre-laminated MDF, is already a segment that is that we are present in, It's definitely a matter of focus for us. But please keep in mind that particle board is always, there is a, I would say, a 60-40 ratio or a 65-35 ratio of particle board to MDF in any developed market. So that would always remain. But there are certain segments where plywood is being consumed is not directly replaceable by particle board. In that case, that is where we are seeing the growth of MDF happening. And when I talk about value add at our end, I am talking about a shift from the standard bread and butter industrial grade product to exterior grade, to the high density water resistant grade, HGWR grade that we produce. And the market is moving towards that because that is a product that comes very close to plywood in terms of it's higher density, water resistance levels are much higher, yet it is a lot more economical. So it's a very good, alternative to plywood. So that is a segment where we see where our realizations are close to 45 to 50% higher than the standard industrial grade product. And we are seeing a drastic improvement in that segment.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Shobhan, for the time. I appreciate the answers.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Udit Kajiwala from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So firstly, on the realization front, so we have seen, realization coming down. Do you see this further dropping given in H1 there are multiple domestic capacities coming up in next fiscal and also, imports from trade are, even if they continue at these levels, you may have to come down because you're coming up with a new grade which is also a bit on a low end side.
Realizations have not really come down sequentially. So if you look at quarter one, our domestic realizations were 32,925 per cubic meter, which has come down marginally to 32,771. So there has not been any significant drop in domestic realizations. Exports year on year, there has been a big drop in realizations, for reasons which are already informed during the call that we took price cuts aggregating to 12% last year. Secondly, a large quantity of the, majority of the shipments in this quarter were on FOB basis. So naturally pricing was lower since the customer was bearing the freight cost. So domestic realizations have been stable till date and going forward, we estimate that they will be continue to be stable. Yes, the new product that we have launched will have some impact on our realizations. Like I mentioned, it will probably be, around 25 to 30% of our volumes. And on an average, it would probably be around 10 to 12% lower in realization. So yes, that could have an impact of about 3 to 4% on the realizations.
Is right, sir. This is considering this fiscal. I was more asking that, when we go into the H1 of next fiscal, I'm sure your plant is delayed now by 5 odd months as per your earlier schedule. So at that point in time, do you see the price war again? Not the price war might not be the right word. But, their domestic prices again contracting because large players are coming up with these capacities.
No, we have seen capacities, increasing this year from about 2.3 million cubic meters to now close to about 3 million cubic meters. But there has not been any significant impact on realizations. With the volume of imports increasing significantly. So yes, I think going forward we will be able to maintain the realization because, the price war, price cut strategy does not really work, because there are just about 5 organized players in the industry and as soon as one cuts prices, others follow immediately. So when a price cut strategy will not give you any volume gains, why would anyone look at a price cut, you know?
Sure. And so lastly, on the volume front, I mean, you mentioned 3 to 5% approx for this fiscal. And now that your plant is coming in the Q3 of 25, so for next year, do you see volumes growing somewhere around 15-odd% at industry rate, or something better than that can be expected in 25?
See, the new plant will primarily be focused on the thin MDF, for which there is already a ready market. And you don't have any companies in India manufacturing the really thin MDF. So yes, we should be able to, you know, achieve close to 30 to 40% capacity utilization, proportionately during the next financial year.
Got it, sir. Got it. Yeah, that's helpful, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Nikhil Agrawal from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So my question was on the BIS regulations that are coming in. So, can you quantify the impact of the standards, and how much will it help in reducing the price differential?
No, at this point of time, it will not be possible to quantify the impact on volumes. It's only after BIS comes into effect and is operational for a minimum of 3 to 4 months that we'll be able to gauge the potential impact of its implementation.
Okay. So do we see imports rising before that the regulations come in? I mean, any possibility of that?
It's very difficult, to estimate whether imports could increase or not, because, I thought that 30,000 run rates per month was a, fairly big number. And during this quarter, we have seen that going up by almost 60%. So it's very difficult to estimate whether imports could rise further from this point.
Okay, got it. And so lastly, you said that 34, you had in October volumes were about 34,000 CBM in the domestic market. And what would the export volumes be round about?
Come again?
You mentioned that your October volumes were 34,000 CBM in the domestic market. So what would your export volumes be?
Export volumes were flat at around 9,600 cubic meters.
Okay, got it. That's it from me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Santil Nadan from NAFAMC Private Limited. Please go ahead.
No, my question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. A couple of questions. Sir, first is, if you look at the export margins, the tires have steadily come down over the last 3 quarters, 7, 4, and now 2 to 3. Sir, how should we look at it? I think prior quarters, you made us understand that it's a question of operating leverage, and that's the reason we push volumes into exports. But there would be a minimum threshold on ROC that we look at when we are looking at exports. Sir, how should we understand this?
See, we'll continue with the exports as long as we have spare capacity and it's making a positive contribution to the margins.
Sure. So the idea over here is to not push volumes into domestic market to ensure that there is pricing sanity, and hence we are using exports as an outlet. Is that the right way to read it?
Yeah, that's correct. But, like I mentioned earlier, that if we used price cut as a strategy to increase volumes in the domestic segment, that may not yield any positive results. No, so that's why we are not gone for that allocated additional volumes to exports.
Right, sir. But sir, if I flip it around saying that had we pushed the same volumes in the domestic market, had we sacrificed a couple bits of margins, still on incremental volumes, we would have fetched a better ROC as compared to exports. So is it something from a export market share, local markets, market share standpoint, or is there an understanding sanity between the larger players that we would not spoil the market and hence we see the sanity on local domestic pricing?
I don't think there's any understanding as such among the larger players. I think it's purely a recognition of the fact that the price war in 2019 did not yield any benefits to any of the manufacturers. You know, because all of them cut prices by almost 20%. I think it was slightly higher. So more than 20%. And it did not give any tangible benefit in volumes. I think that recognition has possibly contributed to sanity around prices during the current year.
Sure, sir. Sir, you indicated numbers on import volumes. Would you have some color on which are the ports through which the material actually came in? The reason I asked this, wanted to have a flavor because you did indicate that there is a 20% differential on local prices versus import, which is quite steep. So is this 20% for south or is it 20% for north or west? How should we look at it?
Could you repeat that, please? I didn't get your question.
Right. So first question is, you indicated import volumes. It has moved up. So this imports are from which ports? Is it we are looking at Mundra or are we looking at something like Chennai, Paradeep? That's the first question.
No, imports are across all ports. Would be West Coast, would be Bombay and, you know, even Gujarat. South would be Cochin and Chennai. So it's across all market, all zones of India.
Yeah. So what I was trying to understand is when you give an import parity differential number of, say, 20%, is that for more for southern India or is it more for northern India?
No,
if you can give two separate numbers, would be great.
Saying the effect of imports would of course be higher when it comes to the port market. So west of India and south of India are more affected, I would say, because they have large OEMs and because of lower, let's say, ground transportation to get access to the material, imports become more viable. North India, imports are not so prevalent.
Sure. This is helpful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Madhav Raji from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to understand what percentage of imports does India have for MDF and where do these imports come from?
Hello?
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 Yes, sir, please proceed. We can hear you.
No, I wanted to ask the first part of the question again.
What percentage of MDF does India import and from which countries do we import these from?
The majority of the imports are coming from Vietnam and Thailand. These are the two primary countries of MDF.
Okay. And sir, what percentage of the imports that comes into India would be of a lower quality that wouldn't qualify for the BIS norms?
Majority of the imports is actually coming in industrial grade. I would say about 90% of the imports coming into the country is of industrial grade. But every grade has to comply with the BIS norms. So there are different BIS norms for exterior grade, there are different BIS norms for industrial grade. So no matter which grade is coming into the country, would have to in turn comply with BIS norms.
Okay. And sir, my final question would be, sir, where do we see our plywood business going forward for the next 2 to 3 years in terms of top line as well as bottom line? Like in your perspective, like where can this segment of our business go?
At the moment, our primary focus is to reach optimal utilization of the existing plywood capacity. So our focus over the next few quarters would be to get this existing capacity reach at the right utilization and the right product mix. After that, of course, we are very keen to grow in this business as well, which could result in further expansion of our capacities, either in the same location or another location. So, but that, of course, the precondition of that would be optimally utilizing our existing capacities and becoming profitable in this business.
Okay, thank you, sir. That was very helpful.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ashish from Infinity Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, on a slightly different note, we've been hearing about this increase in timber prices for the last few quarters. So let's say compared to a year back, how much would have the timber prices gone up by? And second is, when do you expect them to normalize given all the plantation activities that you guys are doing? How long do you think it will take?
Okay, so it's been a different situation in the north of India and in the south of India. So if we look at north of India, there has been roughly a 10% increase in timber prices over the past 1 year. And if we look at, south of India, I would say the price increase has been around 30%.
Right. And sir, with the plantation activities, how long do you think we will be able, is this 30% increase you think is reversible over the next 1 or 2 years as your plantation activities start yielding fruit, or do you think this is permanent?
Plantations which were done in 2023 will be harvested in 2026. So I think we can see some moderation in wood prices during FY 26 and 27.
Because, sir, without that, I think fundamentally the whole industry kind of becomes non-competitive given the fact that imported landed prices are 20% lower than what we are selling. So they will continue kind of gaining market share unless we can get our timber prices down.
3.5 million cubic meters, that is visible currently.
Right. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
So one follow-up question from my side. So what we have seen normally, particle board industry was pretty unorganized. But now the bigger players are bringing the particle board capacity, which will be more of a prelam board which they will be making. My understanding is normally prelam particle board is 20 to 25% cheaper versus prelam MDF. So whether the prelam particle board can be used in place of the MDF? So how can the industry dynamic change because of that?
As I mentioned earlier, particle board has its limitations. So in any given form of, consumption, whether it's furniture or interiors, there are certain applications which can be done with particle board, but certain has to have MDF usage. So if you ask me, can MDF replace particle board in terms of its usage? Yes. But can particle board replace 100% of MDF usage? It can't. So they sort of go hand in hand. So, even historically, particle board has always been existing in India. Prelam particle board, majority of the producers focus on producing pre-laminated particle board because it's not economical and viable to only sell plain particle board. But at the same time, the pre-laminated MDF market size is growing.
Okay, got it. Can you give a broader idea about what I understand, MDF is here to stay, of course, particle board can't replace all the things what MDF is used for, but what would that number look like where particle board can replace MDF? So, but the historically there were, you know, no quality players producing particle board, which is going to change in next 1-2 year time.
Actually, you know, I don't think even today there is a replacement happening of particle board with MDF, primarily on account of the cost involved, you know, because thumb rule, MDF would be about 30-35% more expensive than particle board. So we don't foresee that with the organized players coming into the particle board segment would result in a shift of MDF consumption to particle board. I think what would happen is that the organized players of particle board may be able to gain market share from the unorganized segment of particle board, but it is not going to directly compete with MDF, because they both play at different price points and different usages. Someone today, any OEM would be consuming both MDF and particle board in complement, because they both go sort of hand in hand. Certain applications like the tabletop would be made in particle board, but the rest of the carcass would be made in MDF.
Okay, understood. That is quite helpful. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. In the last call, you had mentioned with regards to the plywood, you said you expect 10% growth with 8-10% margins. So are things still looking the same with that regard? So any changes there?
No. If we look at the performance during the first half of the year, it's clear, you know, that we are not going to see any growth in plywood this year. So I say at this point of time, the best thing we can look is status quo as far as growth is concerned.
Sorry, can you please repeat the last sentence? What can we expect?
Yeah, that means I said that the best case at this point of time looks like, we do the same volumes as we did last year.
Same, okay, as last year, okay. And from an overall consolidated level, so given that you will be now catering to the OEMs with a low cost, you know, value add product, so in terms of revenues and margins, like, so can you still do similar 10% growth as seen in FY23 in this year, FY24, with similar margins? Or
you're speaking on the MDF side, right?
No, overall, like consolidated overall business level.
No, we won't be able to do a 10% growth. Like Mr. Mittal mentioned, we are looking at a low to mid-single-digit growth in MDF and status quo on the plywood side. So I think, yes, with significantly lower realizations in MDF exports, you know, we will not see any growth this year.
Okay, it's likely to be flat then. Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun Baid from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just for clarification, the new plant is going to come in Q2 or Q3 of next year?
The new Q3 next year, since there have been some delay in shipment from Germany. So at this point of time, we are behind by about 2 to 3 months as far as, the shipments are concerned.
Okay.
So instead of Q2, we are looking at Q3 next year.
Yes, sir.
Arun, best case scenario would be end of Q2 or early Q3.
Okay.
That is what
I'm
looking at.
Yes. And Venkatji, in one question, you answered that on this new capacity, which is a thin MDF you're going to go through, you are saying that proportionately we'll be using around 30-40% of capacity. So ballpark, you know, if I assume 6 months of operations, on 230 of capacity would be 150, and roughly if I assume 30 to 35%, ballpark 40,000 CBM additional volumes which you switch from the new plant for FY25. Is that a right way to look at things?
Yeah, that's correct.
So next year, sir, assuming this 40,000 comes in, we will be on a blended basis at least doing 15% volume growth for the next year, FY25, assuming, you know, what you have said for the new plant.
Yeah, that would to some extent depend on where we finish this year. But looking at our guidance for this year, yeah, we could reasonably look at that kind of growth for next year.
Yeah. Thank you. Best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
We thank everyone for joining this call. We look forward to speaking to you again post the next quarter results. And if anyone has any questions, feel free to contact us. Thank you and have a good evening. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Green Panel Industries, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.